A lot of you might know Tanner the Planter as being one of the largest houseplant brands in the country, if not the world. He has like multiple millions of followers across all of the channels. Something that I learned last year and that I kind of haven't stopped thinking about is behind Tanner the Planter is the warmest, kindest, most smart woman I've met. Her name is Erica, and she is very much a huge part of the Tanner the Planter brand, the Famous in Oregon brand, and what makes it tick. Something that has really impressed me about Erica and Tanner together as I've gotten to know them over the last year, not only are they like obviously wildly successful with their brand and their business and their plant shop, but they are a marriage. They're a wildly successful marriage that has built an enormous brand literally hand in hand alongside each other the whole way. And we'll have Tanner on in a couple of months to discuss his book that he's just come out with and how he's grown his brand and how he's been, you know, the face of the business. But so much of the heart of what goes on in this very amazing plant business is Erica, who I get to interview today. She's the co-founder of Famous in Oregon and the Tanner the Planter brand. She has helped support and shape Tanner as he has grown his content. They have such a beautiful love story and such a beautiful business story. And I thought it would be so fun to interview Erica, not just about the business, but about both, about how you grow as an entrepreneur together, how you grow a business with your partner, and how you grow a marriage with your business partner. It was a wonderful conversation. And as you'll find out, this was Erica's first solo podcast appearance, which was shocking to me because she crushed it. I hope you love this conversation as much as I do. And please let me know if you want more of these in the future.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hello, my plant friends. If you're new here, my name is Maria and I am the host of the Growing Joy podcast. And I'm here to help you care for plants successfully, both indoors and outdoors, and grow joy in your life by connecting to nature. One of the joys of my life this year has been getting to know Erica and Tanner Mitchell, the brains behind the Tanner the Planter and Famous in Oregon brand. We met a year ago at TPIE and bumped into each other at a couple events and stayed in touch. We had lunch a year ago and I was really just blown away by Erica, and I wanted to give her some airtime to tell her story. This is such a lovely conversation. I hope it inspires you. And if you're interested in hearing more like behind the scenes episodes with businesses, like how they build these plant brands, but also creators and also just interesting people in the plant space, please let me know, because I have thoroughly enjoyed interviewing Erica today. And then we will have Tanner on in a couple of months because he does have a book coming out that you'll hear about. If you loved this podcast, if you've been listening to this podcast, please take a minute to give it 5 stars on your preferred podcast player. Give it a positive review. That always helps. And if you want more that where this comes from, you can go ahead and go to growingjoywithmaria.com/newsletter to sign up for the Growing Joy newsletter. Every week on Fridays, I slide into your inboxes and I tell you all the things that are bringing me joy right now, nature and not nature. It's a really fun newsletter where it's just like straight from my heart. Lots of typos, no AI used, just you and me. But without further ado, we need to bring Erica into the conversation. So here is my beautiful conversation with Erica Mitchell. The secret sauce behind the Tanner the Planter, Famous in Oregon brand. Erica, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is my very first time going on a podcast without Tanner. So
really? Oh my gosh.
A new experience. Yeah.
I'm so honored. I mean, I interviewed Tanner. Well, I was fortunate enough to meet you guys in person last year. We had lunch together.
That was great.
At TPIE. And I don't know, Erica, you really made a lasting impression on me. of your relationship with Tanner, but also your contribution to the business. And I just think you have a really interesting story that isn't even really attached to Tanner that I wanted to hear more about because it's rooted in plants and heart and a lot of other things. So thank you for coming on just as a solo. If this is kind of new territory, I promise I'll be gentle.
Thank you. I'm used to all the comments in the world because of Tanner's social media. So I'm ready.
Yeah. Because when I met you, my impression, I mean, I know that you're on Instagram and you have your like Mrs. Tanner the Planter thing, but I don't think people really understand how much you are the heart of this business, like the heartbeat of the business, and how intertwined you and Tanner are when it comes to how you have built your business. So I'd love to go back to the beginning and hear your love story. How did you and Tanner meet?
We met in the weirdest way. I was on my lunch break from my 9-to-5 job. My background's in education. I was just driving to the tire shop because in the morning, I got the warning that my tire pressure was low. And so I needed to get that done before getting kids to practice that night. And he was working at the tire shop and he started talking to me only because he was trained to have like small talk, because naturally Tanner is not a small talk kind of guy. And so he saw, what made him talk to me was he saw that in the back of my car, my son's hockey gear was back there. And so he was like, they play hockey here? You know, because he had just moved here from, he's from Oregon, but he had spent some time in Utah. Mm-hmm. And I think he was here just like a few days when we met. But it wasn't love at first. It wasn't anything like that. It was not at all that way. We became friends for a long time. Me and the girls would babysit Nora, his daughter. And it happened in the most odd of ways. I hope his next book that he comes out with is about this, because I think we have a really incredible story.
He said that on my interview with Tanner, that feel like your next book should be a relationship book. But before even the relationship, so you were an educator, were you a teacher?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I worked in all different capacities. When my kids went back to school, because I was at home with them for years, 10, 11 years, mm-hmm. I wanted to go back and work in education so that I could have their hours, basically.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
So in our school district, it was a very like budding school district, and Spanish is my first language. They needed somebody to speak Spanish. So I just kind of dipped my toes in. I started working in the office. I started subbing, you know, anything I could do just to like be there with them during that time. But ultimately, yes, I worked in administration, and I had a couple year run there in two different school districts here near us. And that's what I was doing when I met Tanner. So it was just a very organic, like we couldn't have planned it any better. Mm-hmm. Kind of situation. And there's a big age difference. And so there was another reason that I was like trying to hook him up with like teacher friends of mine.
Right.
Like I had no idea it was going to come to something like this. I just knew that I loved his little girl because we would babysit her. Mm-hmm. And she was like a little living doll to my girls that were older. And so it just was a fun weekend, you know, thing to help him babysit, because he had another business. He had a party rental business. Mm-hmm. So weekends when he had her, he needed help, you know, babysitting. And it just kind of, that's really how it happened. It all just kind of evolved. It was the most beautiful thing, but because it happened so organically in the weirdest of ways, because he's not the kind of guy that's going to go meet a girl, you know, that's not.
Yeah. He's shy.
He's so introverted, and he's so, kind of serious. He has like a serious personality. I've cracked him though. I know he can laugh and he can have fun and, you know, all of that, but he was very serious, and it was not very opposite of me.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, it was a very exciting time in our lives. Very exciting.
And how long ago was that?
Oh my gosh. So we met in 2013. We started dating in 2015, and we got married in 2017.
Okay, got it.
So this is like year 9, man.
Yeah. Wow. That's
amazing. I mean, think about when we met in 2013, he's 23 and I'm 36. Like that is a very big age difference. A big reason why I never thought it would work out.
Well, Well, I think it speaks to the slow burn. That's kind of, I feel like, a theme that we'll probably explore today, of the slow and steady, slow burn, instead of like fireworks, full energy output up front and then the burnout at the end. And I think I was friends with my husband first too. And I think when you can have a friendship and a mutual respect first, it really does inform the romance in a different way.
Yeah, I had never been around somebody that was so interested in like really knowing me before. And I had been married before. I have no regrets. My ex-husband is still a friend of ours. We come together on parenting things still all the time. And all of our kids are grown, but like we have a great relationship. But Tanner was just like obsessed with like getting to know me and like knowing all the ins and outs of everything that makes me tick. Like he loves to like, when we're around my family, he loves to hear the stories of like when Erica was little, and you know, it's just so precious. He honors me in a way that I never knew was possible. It's a beautiful, beautiful marriage.
You can really see it when the two of you are together. And it makes sense because he's such an analytical, kind of serious guy. It makes sense that he's like, okay, how can I further analyze Erica? Like, where does she come from? What is her potting media? Like, what is, you know, how was she planted? How was she raised? You know, that makes so much sense. So you meet your friends, you fall in love. You have this administrative background.
I am not interested, though, in that type of work.
Yeah, like, do you have an interest in entrepreneurship?
Yes. At that time, I had joined a health, like, supplements company. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason that I got out of my regular, like, 9-to-5 job, was because that was going really, really well. And as I was newly divorced. And so, like, it was an exciting thing to be able to, like, work for myself. I had this team that sold these health supplements under me. And it just felt like I could break free a little bit from the chains of a regular 9-to-5. And I loved that feeling. Mm. And so then I think that was what kind of gave me the bug to say, okay, well, if I can do this, you know. But the idea was never to, for me also, to step into the plant space. That was not ever our plan. It happened like that because we love being together. But it wasn't ever, I always felt like this would be his thing and I would continue with my thing. Mm-hmm. But we learned very early on that it couldn't, like, it grew so fast that we both had to be involved, you know, pretty involved from the start. You know, when you open a storefront, like, you need people, you have to be there.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I could see that your history and education helps with your supplement business, where you're teaching and training, onboarding your team. Once again, like, I love these stories. I very much feel like this with myself too, where like you have these seemingly totally different life chapters, but they really all do inform each other down the line.
They all go towards that same thing. The amount of education and the amount of research that Tanner and I did, mostly Tanner, but that he did so that he could contribute to that business of mine, that prepped us for everything we do now with our customer group on Facebook. Like, that showed me how important community was, because nobody was teaching about supplements like I was teaching about supplements and how Tanner was teaching. So we took that experience and just put it towards plants, and there was a real need.
Yeah.
Who knew? But there was.
So I want to go back to the beginning of the storefront. But first, so we can understand the context in which we're speaking, what does modern day Famous in Oregon / Tanner the Planter business that you guys run together look like? What are all of the different arms?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So we have the storefront that opened in May of 2020. Mm-hmm. You know what was going on then. I know. We are survivors, girl. We actually signed all the paperwork for the lease in March of 2020. And literally days later, we were shutting down just for 2 weeks. And anyway, we were able to make it through that. I think we were just so excited and so ignorant about like what that could mean for small business, because a lot of businesses were really suffering during that time. But that's also when there became this huge push for supporting local business. Do you remember that?
Totally.
So before that was the MLM craze. Oh, Boss Babe, you remember that? Mm-hmm. And then that shifted to where now we're supporting small business. And I happened to be in all of that when that was going good. And then as soon as we open our storefront, then there's a big push for supporting small business. So we just really lucked out with that kind of timing. And we also just didn't really allow for anything other than excitement during that time. People would very much be doom and gloom. But we just were so excited about what was possible with the plant shop that it was just like it could never enter our atmosphere anyway. Mm. So we just kept going, and it ended up being a great time for houseplants. 2020, 2021
totally
ended up really being a boom. Who could have planned that?
So what if that big, beautiful garden you've been dreaming of didn't necessarily start with a big budget? It just started with curiosity, creativity, and community. That is the heart of one book, probably one of my favorite books that I've read this year, called The Wild and Free Garden by Stephanie Rose. You might know her. She's been on the podcast before. She's the creator of Garden Therapy. We had her on for an episode on permaculture a couple of years back. But she just came out with this new book called The Wild and Free Garden that is all about growing a garden for free. It shows you how to design stunning, deeply personal outdoor spaces using found materials, free resources, government grants, and shared tools, often right in your neighborhood. You'll learn how to tap into the sharing economy, repurpose what already exists, save seeds, swap plants, but most importantly, lean on your community. I love that the heartbeat of this book is really about digging into your community for support and growing and gardening together instead of in these isolated silos. It's not just about spending less, it's about connecting more, but there's tons of amazing free or very low cost garden projects that are going to have you so inspired. So check out The Wild and Free Garden wherever books are sold or through the link in today's show notes. That's The Wild and Free Garden by Stephanie Rose. Because I want to really get into the nitty gritty of the storefront, but before we do that, so you have Famous in Oregon storefront. Then you have Tanner the Planter, Instagram, TikTok, social media, like social media, YouTube content presence. Then you have your app.
Yep.
Which does sales. You do national sales of plants now.
Yes, we do live sales. Two planned live sales a week, Tuesdays and Saturdays, 6:30 p.m. And then we do pop-ups during the week just to be present with our community, because two times a week doesn't feel like enough sometimes.
Yeah, totally. And you have like a cult following in this app, which is so cool. Then you have this book that's coming out. Am I missing anything in terms of all the different tendrils?
There's our shipping center is called Famous in Oregon, the Victorian. And that's a 1915 Victorian home in the beautiful middle of our town, Prosper, mm-hmm. Texas. It's everybody knows this house. It's iconic. And it was sitting empty for a while. And we got with our realtor, and we got her to get in touch with the owners of it. And we moved in September. And it is just a beautiful place to work. I love being there. But that's where we fulfill. That's our fulfillment center, in our shipping center. And it's about two blocks from our storefront.
Okay.
So two properties, two businesses, really.
How many employees?
We are at 19 with Tanner and I, and Adam makes, 22.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So now let's go back to, so the storefront was the first thing. So why a storefront and why Famous in Oregon when you're located in Texas?
I know. Isn't that, we've been battling that since 2020. So when we opened the store, we had a partner. And her brand is Inappropriate Trucker Hats.
Okay.
And she was a customer of ours. And one day when we were dropping off plants to her house or something, when we were very first starting, she was talking about getting somewhere to work where she didn't have to be in her garage. And, you know, she wanted like a more legit place to work. And we were like, you know what? That sounds really cool. I wonder if we could find somewhere that we could kind of go in together and work together there, because we didn't know if we were going to be successful. Neither of us did, you know?
Before the storefront, you were doing houseplants. What did that version of your business
look like? Yeah. So we were doing live sales. We've been doing live sales since about 2019.
Okay.
So before there was any software or any way to do it legit, I was taking down email addresses, emailing PayPal invoices. Like, we were doing this way before there was an easier way to do it. And thank goodness, because we wouldn't have been able to scale with the manual way that we were doing it for so long. So anyway, we moved in all together. We serendipitously found the most beautiful little storefront, which is our store now, right in the center of our town. It's kind of the entryway to our historic downtown. So it's like a great location, but it is 100 years old. It turned 100 in 2025. So there are challenges that come with having an old building. For sure. Becca stayed with us only like 6 or 7 months, and then she outgrew the space and rented another space near us. And so that's kind of when Famous in Oregon really became Famous in Oregon, home of Tanner the Planter, because at that point, it was just our storefront. We weren't sharing it anymore.
And you were live selling plants on the app. And so it was always a plant shop.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
She had some of her merchandise in there too, but you know, it was primarily a jungle.
Okay, primarily a plant shop. So you move from live selling to brick and mortar because you get this opportunity, not because you're like, we're building this live selling business to move into a brick and mortar.
No. We just had the opportunity to rent this iconic building, and we knew that we could do something out of there around plants.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like people were very supportive of small business back then. It was people were making trips from Dallas to come up all the way to Prosper to see this something they saw on Instagram, you know? So we were able to funnel a lot of people to the shop from all different parts of the Metroplex, which was really cool. People don't really do that now, though.
Yeah. So, but how does Famous in, where does the name Famous in Oregon come from?
Plants are famous in Oregon. So whenever Tanner would tell anyone that he was from Oregon, my gosh, it's so beautiful. The trees, the ferns, plants are famous in Oregon.
Okay.
And Becca, our partner at the time, she goes around to different music festivals, and she was told she was famous in Oregon. So it matched both personalities.
Okay,
for the time.
Okay, yeah. So cute. So in that first year of your business between the live selling and then moving into the brick and mortar, what was the hardest lesson you had to learn?
Oh my gosh. Well, we felt like we couldn't just leave our live selling viewers out in the cold when we moved into the brick and mortar, because that wouldn't have been right to be like, oh, well, thank you for getting us to this position. Now we have a store and we're not going to live sell anymore. You know, we had to keep live selling because those are the OGs. Those are the people that elevated us to have the opportunity to even have a store. But I think that we tried to do too much at first. Mm-hmm. Like we were just, we didn't know how to be picky about what we said yes to. And so, you know, oh, let's do this. Let's do it. Let's start a plant maintenance business. Let's go, you know, bring plants to people's homes. Let's do in-home consults. I don't want to say we burnt ourselves out, but we got to notice that people are just very much takers in a lot of ways.
Like, mm-hmm.
They have you at their house to work on one thing, but then they're like, well, can you look at this other thing? And pretty soon you've gone over, you know, 45 minutes, and Tanner at the time didn't have the skills and the confidence to be like, dude, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And so you like your whole afternoon is now sideways because, you know, you wanted to be nice. So
no, totally. Totally. And I think
valuing your time.
And I think when you're an entrepreneur and you're starting a business, especially in those first couple of years, so many people have ideas for you.
Oh, yes.
And oftentimes very earnestly, like just trying to help you. But, and also you do get, you have a plant podcast. Oh, can you come help me with my plants? But I knew I did one plant consultation and I was like, this is such a schlep. This is so hard. I don't want to bring bags of soil all over New York City. Like,
it's hard.
Not interested. And I had to learn, but someone was offering to pay me to do that. So I was like, okay. Like when you're starting off, you're like, whatever makes money. But you do, I feel like that's such a hard earned entrepreneurial lesson, is like knowing what to say no to.
And just how to value your time, because you're just so amazed that anybody would think that you know anything when you're first starting out.
Totally. It's so exciting. So where did the content come in? Where did social media, you briefly mentioned like people would come from social media. So did you, after you opened the store, did you very soon start your social channels strategically?
No. So Tanner had, I think when we opened the store, 9,000 followers on Instagram, and we shot up to like 17 or 18,000, and we just stayed there for the longest time. He was not making content every day. We were working the business every day, so there wasn't a lot of time for that. And he didn't have any equipment. He just started with his iPhone, you know, not even a mic, none of that. But I will never forget the moment that we were standing in the store together and I was shooting him talking about a plant. I think it was a succulent. And we looked around and we were like, we have content forever in here.
Yeah,
like we have so much to talk about. And that was so exciting because it was like never ending. Like we could just educate forever. And that was kind of the moment when all of that started happening. Now he was already posting on Instagram about things that he was learning in his plant journey, but it wasn't done in like an educative way. It was just, this is what I'm doing right now.
It was like a plantstagram of like, these are my plants. Yeah. Like this is what I'm learning.
And it was... Okay. Yes, very authentic. And then he would still post pictures of our kids and, you know, family stuff. And then one day he told me he was just going to be posting plant content there. And I thought it was really freaking weird, but okay.
Wow.
And here we are.
Yeah. So was there a lot of strategy when you guys had that moment and you looked around, you were like, oh my gosh, we have so much content. Oh my gosh, think about what this could look like. Was there an investment in a camera then? Like, was there a plan or a rollout or some sort of person you hired to figure out how to really do it? Like, how did it look to go from 17,000 to freaking 5 billion that you have now?
We did none of that. We knew the goal was to just once a day. He was just going to try to make a video once a day while he was just doing his regular plant shop stuff. Mm-hmm. So he would be repotting. We got like one of those little tripods for the phone, you know, but the equipment part didn't come in. Now he has, I don't know, 5 or 6 cameras. He's about to get a collector camera as a gift from me when his book launches in April. I'm excited for that. He hasn't picked which one it is yet, but it's not one for work. It's going to be one for play.
Nice.
So, but the camera thing came out of necessity because we had gotten a brand deal with, I don't remember, somebody big, LinkedIn maybe, I think it was. And all of his content was corroded. Like everything that he had done for this was not going to work. It wasn't recorded properly or got lost, or I don't remember what it was. And he was talking to his hair guy who has moved now, but has always been an inspiration. His videos are so amazing. And he's just such a talented artist. And he was like, what do I do? Like, this can't happen again. Tell me what I need to buy. And he was getting rid of his first camera. And so Tanner bought that camera, and that's still the camera that he uses mostly now.
I know everybody's next question is, what camera is it?
It's a Sony A17, I think.
Okay.
It's called. I'm not sure, but it's the largest one of his cameras that he has now. And it takes just such incredible video. And his most viral videos have all been shot on that camera. So it'll be in our family forever.
Yeah. It was interesting when I was chatting with Tanner about the book, because I realized when we were talking, we ended up talking about like everything people do wrong, like everything wrong about the industry.
How fun. I bet you had fun.
It was a really fun conversation. Because Tanner will tell you his feelings and thoughts.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I was like, oh my God, over the course of you guys having this store, not only have you had every plant come in that you can video and photograph, but you have so many points of customer data. Pain points. What is the thing that keeps getting brought into the store? Like, what is the repotting issue everybody keeps complaining about? Why are people killing plants? Like, more so than anyone, you guys, or I feel like anyone with shops like The Sill would be a good example of this, or Folia Club, they were still open. Like, when you have all of those customers as these data points of where are the plant parents really struggling? And then he was able to answer all those questions in the book. I was like, dang, that's so cool. Like, that's such, you guys have such a nice circular loop of providing the plants, but also providing the content and the consultations to help people succeed with the plants, where I feel like usually it's either the brick and mortar has the plants and then the content creators have the education, but very rarely are they together, because that's a huge undertaking. And you and Tanner can do it together, where if it's one person, it's a lot harder.
Oh my gosh. We every single day talk about how we could not do all of the things that we do without the other, because his strong points are my weak points, and it's the opposite for him. So it's perfect. I don't know how it has worked out, but it has.
Well, I'm curious. So what are your strong points and what are his strong points and vice versa via the weak points?
So he has an incredible ability to see the whole business like from a bird's eye view. He can see all of the things that are even if they're working now, he can be like, hey, in 6 months, this isn't going to be working anymore. Mm. So we're going to need to figure out how we're going to do things different or whatever. And I'm talking about what's happening next live sale and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's like we have different specialties in that way. He knows all of the aspects of the business, every single aspect. He could run the place without me. I couldn't run it without him because I don't know how to edit the videos. I don't know, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. Now he doesn't know anything about paying the bills or any of, you know.
I was going to say, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like you're doing a lot of the behind the scenes work.
It's a lot of behind the scenes for sure. But like the relationships, I really have a great, I value relationships. I enjoy spending time with people and getting to know people. And he hasn't always been like that. He's aging now into, I call it like his beautiful man era, which, you know, we're going to be grandparents soon. So I think I see a difference in him now where he is really enjoying relationships more. And, but in the past, he's just been so introverted and so focused and so driven that there wasn't a lot of time for that. But like, for example, we did a drop where we did these boxes called the reflection and connection boxes. No plants. This is for our most closest followers who wanted to have something of ours in their home that wasn't plant related. This is just stuff that we have found throughout the year that has made our year better. And part of that box is the connection piece where we're doing 20-minute Zooms with all of the recipients of these boxes. And those Zooms we thought would be for them, but no, they're for us. It is incredible to see the impact like that. So he is getting much, much better at the connection part. He's always been really close and connected to me, but aside from me, not really until now.
So you really are, though, the boots on the ground that's running the store day in, day out, running the fulfillment center, right?
No. Our ops manager, Adam, he's there every day at the
shop. Okay. So you have someone under you guys who are doing it. Okay.
Yes. And then we have Lily, who is, she's working as like the shipping manager. She's our 19-year-old. And so her and Adam work really well together. And then Teresa, our customer service department, she's a queen. She takes such good care of our customers, makes us all look good. Mm-hmm. And then Tanner and I are doing stuff like this. And he's being distracting right now, taking pictures of me. So sweet. But so we have amazing help. And then our store, we have key holders, and they are responsible for all the day in and day out responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But we're working on processes, operations. I took email off my phone in 2025 because it was too distracting for me. Mm. And so I'm trying to get better about checking my email regularly. My brain just doesn't go there. I'm not someone to sit at the computer. I want to be with the staff at the shipping center. But I don't have a lot of responsibilities there. I'll jump in and help whenever I can. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we were unboxing 100 boxes of plants. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So in the trajectory of your business, when were you able to kind of step out of the guts of the business and more into this visionary role by hiring the ops guy, by hiring, like, what has, so what, you've been open now for 6 years. So year by year, what did it kind of look like in terms of the size of your team? Because I'm sure there are people that want to open plant shops. So I'm curious about that process. But you know, it's been very sad. I feel like in the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of plant shops close their doors.
Yeah.
Ones that opened up in 2020. So the fact that you guys are doing better than ever is a little bit of an abnormality. So what has that kind of slow and steady growth looked like for you guys?
So the first like 3 years, the first 2 years, Tanner and I worked every single day. We did not have time off. We had a 16-year-old helper. She would come in like 2 or 3 times a week after school, like 2:30 to 6 or something. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then our first adult hire, we called her, was Julie. She just recently left not that long ago. And she really made it so that we could have vacations and family time. And, you know, that was a huge, huge change. But, you know, part-time, she's a mom and she, you know, had other things to do. Then we would hire like horticulture assistants to come in and help on the weekends. And little by little, I would say by year 4, we were not having to be there every single day anymore, getting normal days off. We would only have 1 day a week off, but it was still a day off. That was something to be celebrated at that time. We worked really hard. And even on our days off now, we're still working in some capacity. It's a lifestyle business. This is not a business that you don't think about when you're not there. It's yeah. immune.
Isn't that like the beauty and the nightmare of entrepreneurship that you don't clock out ever?
You don't. No. We work a lot. But it takes a lot. And people have changed how they're buying plants. Our store is not doing good. Like our store is not producing. And so, you know, we're in there now. We're going to make some big changes. We have some exciting things coming up for the store and otherwise. But thank goodness for the online support and the online community, because people just don't get in their cars and drive down into the plant shop. They're just not doing it.
But they're still buying live plants. So it's so smart that you have diversified your income this way. Are brand deals and like the social media side of it, is that an income stream for you guys too? Or it's really more the live plants and the brick and mortar?
It is, but it's just kind of extra. You can't ever really depend on it, especially with platforms like TikTok right now seems to be doing all they can to make it pay to play. You know, there's so much of that. And TikTok is great to have a large following on there. It's fun. It's whatever. It's hip. It's cool. But those are not our customers. Our customers are not on TikTok. So they're on Facebook.
Tell us more about that. I feel like budding entrepreneurs would definitely want to hear more about that.
Yeah. So in our experience, like the people that really enjoy what we put out are more reasonable, calm customers. You know, they want the facts. They want it delivered in a way they can understand. And we don't cry about yellow leaves or brown tips here. You know, we make plant care not dramatic. I think there's so much drama in our lives otherwise that plant care does not need to be that way. So I think that the people that resonate with us are an older crowd. And, you know, some of them even, I call them original plant ladies. These are the ladies that grew up in the 70s growing plants. One of my favorite eras. And they're back. Their kids are gone. They have time for a hobby and they remember how much they love plants and how plants make them feel. And so they are there every live sale. They love the information. The support is incredible from that demographic.
I remember you telling me when we met in person, forgive me if I'm messing the story up in my head, but like you had a woman like who was at her son's wedding showing up on the live stream.
Oh yeah. Happens all the time. Hey, I'm at my kid's graduation, but I really wanted to see what plants you guys have this week. You know, it becomes something that they look forward to, that we look forward to. And it's a community experience. Like we're all together at least twice a week.
Yeah.
We know things that we know who likes what plants, who collects what. If there's something like we just did the live sale here. So there's like a Peperomia fan tagging the Peperomia girls, you know, like it's so fun. We have a great time.
Yeah. What is the volume? How do you source your plants? And like, what is the volume of plants that you're shipping out every week on your from your fulfillment center?
My gosh, I could tell you how many boxes. I don't know.
Tell us how many boxes. Okay.
How many plants? We're about 400 boxes a week.
That's a lot of plants, Erica.
Yeah. Well, it's flat rate shipping. So they try to maximize their boxes. For sure.
Where are you guys getting plants? I know you have a great relationship with one of your growers who you are at TPIE with, but that's a whole other thing, right? Sourcing plants at volume, bringing those plants in, keeping them alive and in good health, and then packing them and shipping them when you're in the middle of a nationwide freeze or when you're in the middle of this or that. Like, what does that side of the business look like?
It can be very, very stressful.
I bet.
Yeah. Luckily, well, this last freeze we were in Florida for, so you feel even extra helpless.
Yeah.
Like I can't do anything. I can't help any situation. Our key holders all really came together and took care of the property. One of them even having her husband drive in his four-wheel drive in the ice to be able to check on things because pipes bursting is a real issue, you know? And this was our first winter with the Victorian property, so we didn't know how she was going to take it, you know, but everything was fine this time. We didn't lose power here at all. So we did really, really well. But yeah, it is a lot of responsibility. And you guys, I hate to sound like I'm going to, you know, bitch about someone, but like, the growers are not, they don't do business like I'm used to. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to find quality plants. And, you know, if I complain about the plants, then sometimes they get mad and then they don't want to ship to us anymore because we don't accept the crap, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to find those top tier greenhouses. And we use a broker. Our broker is great. She's been in the business a really long time, but that's how we kind of piece together who we're ordering from. We go to TPIE so we can meet these growers so that we can develop relationships. Because the other thing is, just because you know them and you want to order from them doesn't mean they're going to sell to you.
Isn't that funny? That they won't sell to you? Like, it is, it's so crazy. I mean, very few people, we're both fortunate enough that, you know, we see both sides of the industry, and I go to these, a lot of these industry events too. And it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
The consumer has no idea of the epic infrastructure companies that all are run by generations upon generations of family. It's all generations. It's all handshake deals. Yeah. It's all, most of them are in Florida, right? Most of them are, you know, by me in Apopka, like most of the houseplants like come from this one area. There's just so much that I feel like the consumers don't understand. And I guess in any business, it's not like we really understand where our grocery store food comes from either, right? Or like our yarn for knitting hobbies. But yeah, and it's a whole different mentality as well. It's not for the joy of houseplants. It's not,
no, this is not a business. Mushy.
This is a business. This is
right.
These are SKUs. Yeah. And there are some amazing growers and people doing amazing things. But it sounds like you work with a broker who sources stuff for you.
They do. That's one avenue, but we order direct too. We have a semis coming out of Florida every week to our facility in Prosper, Texas.
Yeah.
So
that's wild.
Yeah. It's taken a long time to get to that spot too. The first 4 years of us being in business, we didn't meet the minimums that a lot of these growers have. And I mean, the freight bills are crazy. So like, you got to really want to be in the game to be dealing with that stress, you know, like, and having to learn how to load a truck. Like, I still don't really know. I'm just like, I hope I'm not overpaying, but I probably am because I don't know this world. We'll have to learn it though.
Yeah. So talk to me about the learning of it all. Because Tanner worked, you know, in his tire shop. You're coming from education. How'd you build this whole big old business? Like, how did you just Google your way through it? Like, what is your and Tanner's approach to learning?
Tanner is the ultimate DIYer. So anything he's interested in, he's going to become an expert in. Sometimes it's houseplants. Sometimes it's how to be a great husband, how to be a great stepdad, you know, whatever it is. If he's interested, he's going to learn all about it. So there wasn't a lot of help out there. There is industry, albeit friendly. Everyone's working their own businesses. Nobody's going to take the time to stop and tell you what you need to do to run a business and maybe be in competition with them, you know, like no one. And actually, when we went to Steve and picked up our first order of plants, he told us, he said, I've had lots of couples come in here with the same idea. I hope it's different for you. I hope it goes well.
Oh, and this is Steve of Steve's Leaves. Yes. I can't believe Steve of Steve's Leaves was your first plant purveyor.
Yes.
Talk about like the goat of the industry. He's an icon.
Well, what had happened was Tanner just emailed, shot in the dark, and was like, hey, my wife and I want to start this business, but we need a supplier. And he said, sure, come in. These are the documents I'm going to need to be able to sell to you. And this is where you get them. Links provided. And so we were able to get our business license, our ag license, and all of that to really start it off right. Because I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make in the plant space is they're backyard growers and they don't ever set it all up right. And then there's a problem. You know, do it right from the beginning.
Can you run through like what those original licenses were that you guys had to get?
Well, the sales tax, the ag license, they call us a floral shop through the state of Texas. The business license, the what's it called? Like once the building was available for us to be in there, occupancy, is that what it is? Certificate of occupancy. I didn't know a lot about how the brick and mortar, like how all of that worked. But now our oldest son has his master's degree from Texas A&M in city planning. So like I have a consultant anytime I need when I'm dealing with the city now. So now it would have been totally easy. But back then we had to, there were taxes we didn't know we had to pay. And like, there is no guide here. This is what you do, you know?
I know. It takes so... I also feel like one of the questions I want to ask, because where I have felt the pain of entrepreneurship is like, your business looks one way externally. You're traveling, you're speaking at these events, you're doing these things. You have a billion gajillion followers on TikTok if you're Tanner the Planter. Like, from a follower's perspective, you guys are like thriving and nailing it and like doing the thing. And what people don't understand is, yeah, but we have to reconcile QuickBooks every month, and there's payroll issues, and there's HR, and there's legal, and there's liability, and there's taxes.
All of that.
Can you share, for someone who is looking at you guys and wanting to start a plant shop and wanting these things, but like, we only see the positive side, what have been some of the difficulties that maybe you guys didn't anticipate in starting that business and kind of Googling and stumbling your way through those first couple of
years? Oh my gosh. The nuts and bolts of it were really hard to learn. Now, year six, I know exactly when everything's due and all of that, but get an accountant.
Yeah. ASAP. And a bookkeeper.
Yes, that's my best advice. She helps with my payroll. She does all of that. She knows all the reporting that needs to be turned in. When we bought our building about a year ago, we opened a new LLC. That's like a property acquisition LLC. And so then Famous in Oregon rents from that. You know, it just, there are so many of these rules that I want to sell plants. I just want to talk about plants. So you do have to get help. I mean, I belong to the Hispanic Business Alliance here in my local area. And there are people there that know about all of these aspects of business that really opened my eyes. They bring in speakers and I learn. Because without that, yes, it looks like everything's great, but like, there are deadlines. And if you miss the, like, if I miss my sales tax deadline, the fee's crazy. Like, I can't miss that, you know?
Yeah, you're getting in trouble. Or you're, yeah.
It's a lot.
You can really mess up if you're not doing the LLC, like taking the liability off of yourself, like doing all these things. I think that's my biggest regret is, I started an LLC from the beginning, but like my biggest regret is DIYing and YouTubing it instead of just like hiring the accountant, hiring the bookkeeper, hiring the business coach, hiring these people to just like help me fill in the blanks. Because so many people, I just feel like, look at social media and they're like, oh, if you have a billion followers on TikTok, you're going to be a millionaire. There's like maybe 100 TikTok influencers that actually are that. The majority of them are not. And
yeah, they're not.
You know, so like you have to fill the parts in. What's your favorite part of the business? Oh,
gosh, I love the people, the customers. I love hearing from them how much plants have changed their lives or how much we have inspired them to work together in their own plant business. That was overwhelming. At TPIE, we had several couples tell us that they now work together in the plant space because of our inspiration, because they see us doing it. But yeah, you know, sitting here thinking about all the responsibility around it, it's funny because it's just everyday life. I don't think about all the things you're talking about just now, like the accountant and all the rules and the deadlines, and we just move through it, but I don't really think about it like, yeah, that sounds really stressful.
I think that's important to hear though, right? Because in your first couple of years, yeah, it was, you know, harder and maybe more stressful, but you figure it out. Like Marie Forleo says, everything is figure outable.
It is.
You can Google, and now people have ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
You can use AI. Like AI is incredible to help people.
Yeah.
So do you have a vision for like the future of where obviously we have the book coming out? Obviously the book's going to be a bestseller. I feel it. Do you guys have a vision for where you want to take the business, or are you more living in moment to moment?
No, we have a vision. We are working to change the storefront a little bit. It's going to be more of an education type center. And we've got some amazing products coming out.
Oh, like you've made products?
Like a product line. Of some things in a couple of different areas. So we're really excited about that. I can't wait till we can tell y'all about it, because I think it's going to be really, really great for the plant.
You'll have to come back on the podcast.
Yes, we'll have to tell you about it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the book is really exciting. And now there's talk about more projects in the literary world. So we're, you know, we'll see where it takes us. There's been a lot of talk about people saying that they want to see us on TV. Mm-hmm. TV, from what I've seen, we're not really going after opportunities like that because I don't like how they try to put you against each other in these situations, you know, on TV. Reality TV isn't fun unless there's conflict, right? Mm-hmm. We don't live that way. So it would be very, very boring content for them. But, you know, I would love if we could find a videographer that we were comfortable with to go into people's spaces and redo their plant spaces or, you know, I would love to be able to do that. But yeah, we've got the most important thing right now are the products that are coming out and the book, of course.
And the book and your marriage. So I want to ask you a couple more questions about your partnership. Because it's so special. What are some of the things that about your relationship that you feel make you successful as partners?
Oh, gosh. We prioritize each other over anyone. We have children. We adore and love our children. But we are each other's priority. And everybody knows that. You know, like that is the foundation of all things.
What does that look like in practice?
That looks like my daughter's not going to come to me and talk to me badly about Tanner. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not. She knows that I'm not going to hear it because that's my man, you know, like, come on, that kind of thing. Boundaries are important when you have adult children, especially in this economy, you know, like in this day and age. We had our daughter, Maya. She moved. She's here on our property. She's in our RV. We're neighbors. Mm-hmm. We weren't expecting her to come home, but she's here and I think we ruffled her feathers a little when she came back and we just were like, listen, this is not your childhood home. This is our space. We have a great space for you, but we need to make sure that we maintain respect in all places here. Mm. And she says now, like it made her feel so unwelcome, but I'm like, this is mom's life now. You know, there's not, she's 22. Those years are kind of behind us. Yeah. Of course, we'll be here. We're supportive. She's going to make us a grandparents. You know, of course, we love that. But this is kind of our sanctuary. We give so much to the world and so much of that is public. We have to have a little bit of our own privacy, you know? And so that's just boundaries, healthy boundaries.
How do you work through conflict together when something does come up with, whether it's conflict between the two of you or it's conflict of like the pipe burst and the plants all died or something like that? Like, how do you take those challenges on?
I have a very calm demeanor about myself. I don't get worked up about very much. We joke around with each other and with our staff and we just are always like, you guys, it's just plants. Like, it's not the end of anybody's world. It's just plants. It's okay.
Yep.
We don't need to get all worked up. We're going to do our best. We're going to do everything we possibly can for the best experience for everyone. But at the end of the day, it's just plants. You know?
Yeah.
Tanner has more of a uptight personality kind of naturally. He's worked really hard to loosen that and become a little softer and not so rigid. He's made huge changes to just who he is as a person. Like he used to be just, he had all these rules in his brain that he had to abide by. And I have shown him that like, you're actually the boss of you. You don't have to abide by all these rules that you've put in your brain for some reason. Like it's about how he grew up. It's about where he came from and all of that, you know? So once he was able to get out of that and kind of realize he's in charge, he's a changed person. And he Pilates, I think, helps a lot too.
Just Pilates. This Pilates journey the two of you have been on tickles me so much when I see that you like bought a reformer and have a reformer in your house now. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So my daughter, for her birthday, she was working at a Pilates studio and that she just wanted us to take a class with her for her birthday. So we did. We took like an 8 a.m. Flow One class and Tanner and I fell in love with the practice. It is so incredible for your body. I went in there with awful knee pain. When I met you, I was in some of the worst knee pain of my life.
Really? Like, oh, I would have never known that. Okay.
Oh my gosh. My knees were like huge. I had so much inflammation. I had gained weight over the book writing process. It was very stressful on both of us. But she just was like, please come to this class. And we loved it. And so we came home, signed up, got the unlimited membership. We started seeing results almost immediately. And then we really started seeing results once we decided to bring a reformer upstairs at our house. And now we can stretch that way every night if we want to. Like, it is just so good. It feels so good on the body. And I have no more knee pain. Zero.
Wow. I'm a beginner in my Pilates journey, but I've also found, especially with the reformer, that you have to, it is a meditation on such a deep level. Like, you cannot be thinking about other things when you're on that reformer because you're going to fall. And falling hurts. I have fallen many times on the Pilates reformer. It is, it's like this really interesting mind-body workout. I've never done it in my life until this year. And
it's so wonderful.
Just think it's so cute that you guys got. So now do you have a teacher come and teach you Pilates at the house?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, she's coming this afternoon. She teaches us couples moves on the reformer so that we can do it together sometimes when, you know, maybe we miss a class or we're iced in, we could do practice together. So it's really, really incredible. The lengthening and strengthening piece of it is what I love. It just, it feels so good. My posture is better. Everything is just better. And Tanner, although he's an athlete, he has always been an athlete. He's in his high school Hall of Fame for baseball. Like, he knows how to play some sports, okay? He was always like made fun of in the weight room whenever it was his time to pick the music and stuff because he liked that slow meditative rep. He didn't want the like pump it out, you know, meathead music. Like, he likes that really calm vibe. And Pilates provides a great workout with a really calm vibe. So it's perfect.
I think too, it also speaks to the importance of having a hobby outside of the hobby that you have turned into a business. I feel like with a lot of people who turn plants into a business, it's like you go through this like kind of heartbreaking moment where you're like, oh, my hobby is not just my hobby anymore. And right. Yet I can like love this thing the way a hobby, but like there's finances and rent now associated with this thing that I've done. And it's really freeing to find another thing that you can just keep for yourself that you're not going to monetize. I mean, watch you like be launching a whole line of Pilates stuff, but
no,
you know, just to have something for yourself or for the two of you that you do that like doesn't have to do with plants or content creation or, you know,
Phones. We can't be on our phones when we're on the reformer. That's the best part.
Yes. Do you have any other tips for husband and wife couples that are working together or considering working together? I know Tanner had mentioned something about like you guys do retreats every quarter. Do you have any other parting words of advice?
I think that there's no way to keep your marriage and your business separate. Like, that idea is fake. So always operating under the idea that Tanner has my best interest at heart, and he operates knowing that I have his best interest at heart. And so it sounds so cheesy, but like if we go into a conflict situation and we can remember those things, then it's not a conflict anymore. We're able to think reasonably about whatever decision was made. I'm sure I just need to understand his point of view better. Or, you know, that benefit of the doubt is so useful in business together. Give each other that grace, because if you don't, it's going to be nothing but trouble. We've tried it both ways.
Yeah.
But he does very much lead the business. Like, I am not, I do, there is one bomb I was going to drop, and that is that Famous in Oregon is woman owned. I am the owner of Famous in Oregon.
Tanner
is a staff member of mine.
I love that. I love that for you so much. Love that for you so much.
He works the business just as hard as I do. And of course, you know, we're each other's beneficiaries on everything. But we did set it up like that. And we are Latin woman owned. So most people don't know that about Famous in Oregon or even about me. But yes, definitely. Yeah. I'm proud. Proud for that.
I'm proud for you. I'm proud of you. Proud to know you. You really are, Erica. You like kind of took my breath away when I met you. And I'm so happy to see you be a larger part of the Tanner the Planter brand. I love that Miss, you know, Mrs. Tanner the Planter is showing up more. My final question, I just have to ask you, because we talked about this a little bit offline, but like, what is your, you told me you didn't read the book until you had a copy. So what has this whole experience of your partner really writing this book? You didn't write it, you know, you weren't a part of it, but you're watching him and you're building this business together. Like, what has that whole process looked like? And what are you the most excited for?
Oh my gosh, it was so overwhelming when the box finally got here with the first four printed copies of the book. I do feel like it was very much an endeavor for both of us, although Tanner really did. And he is a wonderful writer. Like, we did
It's so good.
We did have a co-writer, but she basically just was affirming the whole time how wonderfully he can write and how he has such an author's voice. And you can tell it's him. Right, that wrote this, you know? So I'm proud of that. I'm so glad that it didn't come out as like a produced AI looking sounding book, you know, because I was just so proud of the book. And the fact that it's so, there is so much content in there. It's not just a beautiful picture book. It's got meat to it. Yeah. And that's what we kept hearing at the plant show. So I'm sorry, I forgot the other thing that you asked me.
Just what your experience has been like in alongside this process. Like, my heart was so warmed when I saw Tanner recording the audiobook and you're just like in the studio for fun, like just to be there. I'm like, that's so sweet.
Yeah. This is the most exciting time of my life. I told him the other day, like, I'm 48 years old. You're only 35. And I'm sure you're going to have so many more exciting opportunities come up. But for me, like author's wife, this is the pinnacle. This has just been so, so incredible to see him being validated in his own field, you know, because it was not always like that. Mm. He would go on and, you know, people would be bashing him in the comments from everything, from how his hair looks to how his wife looks, you know, everything. Yeah. And so the fact that he's standing as a proud educator and contributor to the plant world, that's the validation. I'm so, so proud.
That really speaks to your marriage too. Like, his wins are your wins are his wins. He's taking pictures of you on this interview, on the sidelines. Like, you really are. I feel like that with any business partnership and with any marriage, like truly rooting for the other person and speaking kindly about them. And, you know, I remember when we had our lunch, you guys were both like, yeah, if all of this went away, like, we don't care. We just like care that we're together and we'll be fine.
Well, and that's being rooted in that makes you able to do scary things.
Totally.
Because I don't care. We're going to still have each other, you know?
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go for it. Risk it all. That's fine.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to see your name on the bestsellers list. I'm rooting for you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. This was so fun.
This was so fun.
Yeah, you're truly like the heartbeat of this brand. And I'm so excited to see where it goes. So excited to see the book launch. And I can't wait for these products. You keep me in the loop about these products. I'm very curious.
I will, for sure. We're working on artwork right now. And then we should be ready. Hopefully, we're trying to do it by book launch time, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You can ride the wave of that book launch for a while. So even if it doesn't come out in April, you'll have plenty to do in April besides launch like a whole nother product line, I have a feeling.
I'll stay busy enough.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you. Erica, thank you for this beautiful episode. I hope I was gentle. I hope, you know, I was your first podcast interview, so I hope you had fun. Thanks for reminding us of the power of love and relationship when it comes to business. Like I said a million times in this interview, but like, you and Tanner are the real deal. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. And yeah, you kind of took my breath away when I met you. So you can follow Erica with all of her links in the show notes. You can pre-order Tanner's book. You can go check out the Famous in Oregon website. You can do all the things in the show notes. And of course, my sweet plant friends, until next time, I hope you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey.
If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, it takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're gonna get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.